We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
You guys doing all right? Cool. Three people doing good. How's everybody else doing? All right. Cool. Y'all can be seated. No sense to stand. Unless you guys want to stand. You guys can stand for the rest of the service. Anybody? No? I remember when we got married, actually, the minister who married us, who's a really good friend of mine, Pastor Daniel McGee, he forgot to tell everybody to sit down through the whole ceremony. So apparently, somehow, everybody stood the whole time through the whole ceremony. I was so enamored by my wife that I didn't even notice anything. So why don't you come up here, babe? Let me introduce you. Love you. This is my wife, Sarah. Hello. I think we have a few other Sarahs in the house today, too, don't we? Come on, stay up here, babe. Who else named Sarah? Any other Sarahs here? One, two. No, any other Sarahs? Anyone want to name their next daughter Sarah? We'll let you guys. All right. Jordan's like, yeah, I think I'll take Sarah. That'd be great. Finn and Sarah. Do you guys really want to name your next kid? Oh, okay. Well, you raise your hand. The Bible says it's better to not make a vow. Well, we won't go there. Cool. Awesome. It's good to be here again. Y'all doing all right? Good. Yep, same three people still doing all right. Oh my gosh, I remember I was doing sales one time. It was such an embarrassing story. I'll tell you guys anyway. And the sale was like, I did door-to-door sales, and the sale was like not going well. Although I will say is that God definitely caused us to rise to the top, which we'll talk about later. This was just one particular house, okay? I was thrown in the prison. And I remember like talking to this guy, and he was just like hating the fact that I was there. But somehow he still let me like in the house and wanted to do the presentation with me. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, cool dog, man. What's your dog's name? He's like, Gunner. I'm like, oh, nice. You know, then throughout the sales presentation, I'm like, oh, sweet dog. What's your dog's name? Gunner. I'm like, oh, okay. I totally forgot that I asked him already. And then we're like, you know, at the table, and I'm going over the deal. I'm like, oh, man, sweet dog. What's your dog's name? And he's like, it's still Gunner. I'm like, oh. I think I just like closed up my material and just walked out the house. I realized at that point that it was going absolutely nowhere. And it was better to cut my losses and not be embarrassed anymore. So, oh my gosh, it was a terrible situation. Still Gunner. Oh. Had a profound impact on my life. And I still do that sometimes today. I'll be like, oh, hey, where are you from? And they'll tell me where they're from. And then later on, you know, whatever, I'll be like, oh, where are you from? And like, as the words come out my mouth, I'm like, oh, I just asked them this. And then if I'm like quick enough, I try to be like, oh, you're from so, like as they're saying it. So that way it makes it seem like I remembered it. But I fail like 90% of the time. So now I really make it a habit to, like, when somebody says something or I ask a question, I, like, repeat that thing in my mind, like, over and over. People are like, man, you have a really good memory. I'm like, no, I just hate being embarrassed. So, like, LaToya it was, right, Miss LaToya? Yep, so I met Miss LaToya earlier, but you better believe that. I don't remember what the next three sentences you said were because I just kept saying LaToya, 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 LaToya. No, I'm just kidding. She said she came in from Chi Lai. I was listening to you. I'm just playing. So if any of you guys ever have a problem remembering people's names, you just go ahead and just take my trick, just say it over and over. And that was actually part of it. Now I know LaToya next time I see her. So I read that in a book. That's my preaching today. That's all I've got. God bless you guys. We want to make it practical, right? That's what you said, Pastor Jeremiah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Go ahead, close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are with us, that this service is all about you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. I pray that every heart is soft and receptive, Father God. I thank you that there's no stony ground, no foul ground. No, I thank you there's no thorny ground, but every bit of ground here, every heart here is open and receptive. And I speak right now that every heart is 100-time harvest. I thank you that your seed being planted today will return a 100-fold harvest in every person's life here, Father God. I thank you that any distraction that came in is broken right now in Jesus' name. In fact, every spirit that had been sent to antagonize people here, I reassign you to useless and profitless tasks in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every pain that had been bothering bodies is gone right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that every debt is broken right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that every bit of depression leaves and joy comes right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that people leave this place totally and radically changed, not by the words of man, but by the demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ. And if you receive that, say, I receive it. Hallelujah. Man, so I'm going to minister today. I felt like the Lord put this on my heart, and Pastor Jeremiah said, hey, man, we've been doing this thing on Sundays. It's called In the Ministry. And he's like, I'm not telling you what to preach by any means, but this is what we're doing. So he told that to me, and I'm still going to preach what I'm going to preach anyway. But it's all right in line, so it works. Amen? So the name of this message I've got here, and we'll see where we go with it. I have a feeling the Lord is going to do something. You know, one thing that I've learned is that when the Holy Ghost wants to take a detour, or if the Holy Ghost wants to take on a sidestep, or he wants to do something different, I've learned, Holy Ghost, I want to do what you want to do. Because the reality is that every person that's come in here today, that you're at obviously a different place than I'm at, because if you were in the same place I was, you'd be standing here and you're not. So that means you're at a different place in life, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, relationally, socially, wherever it is, you're in a different place in life. And if I were to preach a man-made message, if I were good, I might be able to reach a few of you. If I was terrible, I'd maybe reach one of you. But by the Holy Ghost, God will be able to reach every single one of you, inside every single one of your hearts. He'll be able to go into the deepest part of your heart, and he'll be able to touch that very place in your life that you need God to touch. In fact, there's nothing that's impossible for God. Did I not tell you, one of my favorite verses is in John. It says, did I not tell you if you would believe that you would see the glory of God? And you're in this place right now, and you're saying, man, you know what? That doesn't seem possible. And this is what I've got to say to you. For him who believes, nothing shall be impossible. That if you'll believe, that you will see the glory of God in your life. But you just have to take that moment to step out on the end of the plank, to go out over the deep, deep water, and to be able to say, God, I might not understand this. I might not know what's about to happen. I might not like the way this preacher looks. But if you are here today, I believe that I will see your glory in my life. And every time we come and we hear the word of God, in fact, every day that we wake up, no matter what the situation looks like in our life, you have to wake up and say, God, today I believe I will see your glory. And that might be hard. And I'm so glad that you preach what you preach, because like I was like, Lord, what's the mainline message that you want me to have? I like to really stick to one. And like I wasn't tracking with anything, but I am so going to just steal. I'm going to hop on the train track right where you want, or in Joseph. Because man, you could feel, could you imagine, like you have to understand that Joseph actually was a real person, just like you're a real person. Like look at your hands right now. Like Joseph did this. He had eyes that he looked out, and he had a hand that he looked out and is like, go ahead, just take your hands right now. Look at your hands. Do you know everybody's looking at a different set of hands right now? And Joseph actually had a set of hands. He actually had feet. He actually had a life. He actually had brothers, just like you might have brothers or sisters. He actually had a life. He actually slept. He actually woke up in the morning. And you know there was many mornings he actually woke up in a pit. He woke up in a prison. It doesn't say, I don't think it says how long he was in the pit for, does he? I don't know. If you're out in the wilderness and you're thrown in the pit, there's a good chance you weren't there for like 5 minutes, you know? It wasn't like, oh, those kids in the back, they must have threw their little brother in their pit. Let's go up and scoop them up. No, they probably just came across him and found him. There was probably more than one night. There was definitely more than one night that Joseph woke up in the prison. And it was easy, just like Pastor Jeremiah, to say, oh, man, you know what? Forget this. You know, I had this dream, but I know I had this dream, but, and there's people in here today, you're saying, man, I had this dream. I thought it was from God, but there was something that was in my heart so many years ago. Man, when I was a little kid, you know what? I really felt like God told me, but my life doesn't look like that right now. But my life looks like I'm in a prison. But my life looks like I'm in a pit. But if you will say, God, I believe, and your word says that if I would believe, then I would see your glory. And if you could get into that place where you're just willing to say, God, I believe, and your word is true. My situation is a lie. Everything around me is a lie. But what your word says, your word is true, and I trust your word. And if you will get to that place, and if you're in that place, continue to live in that place, you'll see the glory of God in your life. And if you're ready to see the glory of God in your life, say, I'm ready, Jesus, for the glory of God in my life. So the God-given life, that's the title that I felt like the Lord put on my heart. And the very first thing that I wanted to say about the God-given life, I'm going to give you 3 points today to the God-given life that this applies to every single one of you. And let me do something here real quick. Thank you, Jesus. The glory of God and a God-given life, the number one thing that we must know about a God-given life is that a God-given life is supernatural. And in America, that is so hard for Western people to grasp because everything around us wants to naturalize our life. They want to say, oh, well, you were able to do that because of your good education, or you were able to do that because of your experience, or it was who you knew. It was who you knew. But no, God is saying that my life, my God-given life is a supernatural life. And if you're willing to say my God, who here is willing to say that God is a supernatural God? Can we agree that our God is a supernatural God? Perchance there's somebody in here who's agnostic, or maybe like I was agnostic, or maybe you're atheist, okay? If God were to exist, wouldn't it be fair to say that God would have to be a supernatural God? A God that I could explain fully or that I could fully comprehend would be a pretty crappy God. A God that I could explain or fully comprehend would be a pretty crappy God. I would not want to serve that God, because that means he could fit within the realm of my mind, that he could fit within the realm of my expectations. And that's what's so awesome about God, is that he is a supernatural God. He is not only willing, but he is able to go far above and beyond whatever you can ask or think or imagine. So whatever your expectations in life are, know that today God is doing more than what you're expecting in your life, because our God is a supernatural God. Paul said it this way. He said, my words were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but they were in the demonstration of the power of God, so that your trust would not rely in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that same God that Paul served is the same God that I serve. And if you'll fully commit to God today, that'll be the same God you will serve. And he'll be able to take you from the pit to the palace. He'll be able to take you from the prison to the place of righteousness. Come on, man. I'm so excited about my Jesus. I'm so excited about this. And I want to stick here for a little bit, because I feel like so often that we've naturalized God. We've marginalized God. We've put God in this box and say, like, okay, well, God can do this. These are my situations. These are my things that are happening. So cool, God, like do this in Jesus' name. Like, this is my plan. Do this. And you're trying to bless. You're trying to get God to bless your plan. So often we're just like, man, this is it. This is what we're going to do. And if everything just goes perfect, and then all of a sudden something doesn't go perfect, and you're like, why, God? Why? And God's like, look, get out of the way and let me do things my way. Let me do things my way. And I've learned to just get into this place. And I won't say I've learned it like I've perfected it, but I've learned it at least where it's like when I screw up or something happens, I'm like, okay, God, I know you're right here with me. I don't freak out about it. But I've learned to get to this place with God that's like, God, whatever you want, however you want to do it, I'm totally down for that. And even today, I mean, I'm like wrestling with this thing in my spirit, like, okay, because man, I'm so over the place of just like ministering like a nice message. Like, I'm at this place, like, I want to see the supernatural power of God. Like, I'm so hungry for God to come and touch people's lives. Like, I'm not okay with sick people leaving sick. Like, I'm not okay with depressed people leaving depressed. Like, I'm not okay with barren people leaving without hope. I'm at this place, like, if you come in here hopeless, man, when I'm done preaching, by the power of God, you're going to leave with hope. If you came in here depressed, you're going to leave with joy. If you came in here thinking failure, you're going to leave saying, I'm a winner in Jesus' name. And it's not going to be because I'm some, like, man, like, this is motivational. No, it's because my God is a supernatural God, and there's nothing that's impossible for God. Because you're only, if you listen to this and say, man, that's motivational, you're going to have to put this thing on repeat. And then all of a sudden, man, you're going to listen to it, like, not even all the way and be like, this was a terrible message, and you're going to throw it out. No, but if it's by the Spirit of God, every time you listen to it, it's like faith is going to come in your heart. You're going to be able to take a message like this, go through a difficult situation, and say, my God is a supernatural God. It doesn't matter what my situation looks like, because my God is a supernatural God. And in America, we want to naturalize God. We want to explain God. We want to put him in this form or this function. But I'm telling you, when I was 19 years old and I got saved, it wasn't a natural God that was going to save me. I went to church maybe 3 or 4 times. No, I lied. I went to church like 3 or 4 times apart from this vacation Bible school that my parents put me in. And the only reason we went, it was like to give my grandma a break from like babysitting us during the summer. I had a real sweet grandma. I still have her, actually. She's still around, praise God. And she would watch me and all my cousins on my mom's side of the family. There's like 8 of us, 9 of us. You know, I like going over a place. She's still got pictures. We're all eating, you know, ice pops and everything. But I'm convinced that we went to vacation Bible school just to give my grandma a week off from not, you know, not having to watch us over the summer. And the only 2 things I remember about it were being inside a gigantic paper cutout of a whale and like stealing other kids' cherry tomatoes from their salads. And I don't even like cherry tomatoes, but my older cousin was doing it. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it, you know. So, okay, I use that word stolen loosely, okay? We forcefully ask kids if they didn't want their cherry tomatoes, okay? So aside from that, I'd been to church like 1 or 2 other times. And so I was going to school at RIT. I think I shared this a little bit, and I got involved with business with my friend Asif. If you guys remember, he was here the other time that I was here. If you weren't here, then you didn't get to see him, sorry. And he's got a radical testimony, was Muslim and came over to America here, and the only way he was able to come to America was through a scholarship, and the only place that would give him a scholarship was Elam Bible Institute. So he was a Muslim that came to America because he could only get a scholarship to a Christian school. And then he had this girl that he was interested in, who's now his wife, that was basically like, hey, you know, if I can prove Muslim's real, then you become Muslim. And if you can become Christianity's real, then I'll become Christian. And who knows that for a Muslim, it has to take a divine encounter of God. Okay, so our generation, my generation, this generation of people that are alive, they're desperate for something that's real and something that's more than they can comprehend. So I had experience with drugs. I had experience with alcohol. I had experience with parties, with all of this stuff. And I wasn't going to leave that because I was actually having fun in that type of lifestyle. I wasn't going to leave that for something lame that was like, okay, let's come and open up a book and let's do a cookout every once in a while and that's nice. No, I came to Jesus because he was supernatural, because God revealed to me that the wages of sin was death. Before I ever had to hear that scripture, I knew that if I continued down this path, it's like God opened my heart to realize that all these things in life were completely unfulfilling. And even now, as I've been a Christian, I've realized that a life that's not totally committed to God is so unfulfilling. Because God takes us from glory to glory to glory. And it was before I was saved and I was living when I didn't even know God. It's like, hey, look, the end of that is like, it's unfulfilling. There's no real joy in it. There's no significance in it. And then I got saved. And then I started living for God, and it's like, okay, cool. And then I like, you know, cooled down or got comfortable, but it was like that same feeling crept right in, and the Lord just showed me. He's like, look, you can continue to do this, and yeah, you can continue to be saved, but you're not going to have any life of significance. you're not going to have any life of impact. It's still not going to be anything that you... And so it just was this, okay, I'm going to continue to pursue God. I'm going to continue to go after God. And that's how the supernatural God-given life works, is He desires us to desire Him. He desires us to desire Him. And it's only in this life of desiring God and pursuing God and going after God is not that will one day be fulfilled, but the fulfillment of God comes in living in that lifestyle. The God-given life is a supernatural life. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And that word power is a word called dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from. It's explosive power. Many times in the Bible, it's translated miraculous power. So people want to try to say, oh yeah, well that just means this or that just means... They try to naturalize God. They try to limit God. And we absolutely... If you want to limit your God, you're welcome to limit your God. That's fine. You could read... You know, people read and say, oh man, it says nothing is impossible. Oh, that's impossible. Fine for you, let it be. So everybody say, the supernatural life is a God-given life. Man. Thank you. Everybody close your eyes right now. And just say, Jesus, I'm hungry for the supernatural in my life. And just let God touch you right now. God is depositing a desire for the supernatural in your life. I remember being in Danville, New York. I think I shared this last time. And I saw the minister by the power of God for the first time. And he started to call out people. He said, man, you had this problem, you had this problem. And it'd be like, I'd see the power of God hit him. Like, never seen this before. It was like I was watching a superhero movie. Like, I'd never seen anything like this before. He'd be like, you, this and this happened to you, this and this happened to you, this and this. And, like, God wants to heal you. And, like, you'd see the look on their face, and, like, you could see the shock. Like, how did they know this? How could they know? In fact, I was just in South Carolina the other day, and it was late, and me and my wife had just got done watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which was hilarious, if you guys hadn't seen it. Just make sure you give them my recommendation. I get royalties. No, I'm just kidding. So, and it was like 9:30 at night, and I was pretty tired, and I hadn't seen Max in several hours because my dad was watching him. Opa was watching him. Are you Opa? I know you're Oma. Are you Opa? Or Abba. Okay. So, I'm like, man, babe, I got to go get gas. Let me drop you off, and let me go get gas. And I didn't, like, in the natural, didn't feel like I wanted to go get gas because I was late and I was tired, but I just felt like I needed to go. So, I get to the gas station, and I pump some gas, and I see there's this, like, you know, whatever, teenage girl, whatever, young 20-year-old girl on the side of the gas station. And I felt, like, in my heart, like, God's, like, go speak to her. And I'm like, no, that's weird. So he's like, no, go. I'm like, no, it's late at night and she's over. And look, she's on her phone, God. Surely you wouldn't want me to go interrupt her phone call. That would be rude, you know? No, go. No, no, no. So I go and I go to like pull around. And like I've done this with the Lord before and I just know it's just miserable if you don't obey. So I'm like, man, I'm not going to go home and ruin. And it's late now. I'm probably going to feel miserable tomorrow too because surely I'll be punished for 24 hours. Just kidding. That's a little religious mindset that I had. But I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to do it. So I just turn around again. I don't know, whatever. So I obeyed. I got out. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help her get off the phone or whatever. And I go, and she wasn't really on the phone. I think she was just trying to call several people, see who picked up. She was on a break smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to tell her? You know, is there something you want me to deliver for? You know, I'm expecting God. I mean, if God's going to tell me to go talk to somebody, there's probably something that he wants me to go tell him. So I feel like in my heart, like her mom. And I'm like, okay. So I get up to her, and I'm like, hey, how are you? You know, this is going to sound weird, but I just want to tell you God loves you. He's got an awesome plan for your life. Oh, thanks. Anyone told you that? No, not really. Cool. Well, I just want to, you know, I don't know. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I forget what I said. And she's like, oh, cool. Or I asked her if she had kids or something. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just have a baby. He's like 3 months old. And I'm like, okay, I missed it. Not the mom. Definitely the baby. You know, she's young. Don't see a ring on the finger. Dad probably left. All this other stuff. So I'm starting to, like, probe for questions right there, you know. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, well, I want to pray for you. We'll definitely pray for your baby. Anything else you want prayer for? Yeah, my mom. Oh, man. I'm like... Dang, I wish I just, like, you know, stepped out and said it, you know, because it's like, You know, because when you hear something like that, it brings faith, you know? If somebody comes out to you and just says this thing, and it's like, yeah, I felt like God wanted me to pray for your mom, and she'd be like, that's weird, because that's what I need prayer for. Like, it would have built faith in her heart, you know? So I'm like, all right, so that built faith in my heart, and I'm like, all right, now I'm just going to say what I feel like the Lord's speaking to me, because I know the Lord's speaking to me about this. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, a divorce. And I just start sharing. I'm like, actually, what's happening is your mom's been, like, overly nice to this whole, and I just started to tell, like, details about what's happening right now with the divorce. And the girls, like, they're like, how do you know this? Like, this is weird, you know? And I'm just like, well, you know, and I'm like, I missed it once. I'm not going to miss it again. I just took a step out and I just started to share. But it was that God had this supernatural encounter for this girl. And it blessed me to be able to be used by God like that. But it was about making my, and it's not about me. It's like, look, if anyone saw me yesterday, you know, I mean, I was in like super normal clothes, you know, like I remember getting my hair cut the other day. And I walked in to go get my hair cut, and it was, you know, the lady was still cutting the hair, and we actually had married her and her now husband back in November. And she's like, oh, I'm still working on this client. She shared the room with someone else, and I walked out. And apparently, like, the other girl who cut hair and her client was like, who is that? And she's like, oh, that was my pastor, which I'm not her pastor, but that's, like, you know, how she explained it. And they're like, he doesn't look like a pastor. That's not your pastor. Da, 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 da. And, you know, man, it was nuts. Long story short is the girl who was there who asked her that question gave a girl a terrible haircut. At least the girl freaked out. And she was, like, crazy crying. I felt so bad for her. And the Lord put it on my heart to, like, just get her a card and get her an orchid, you know. So I got, and it, like, her, the girl who cut my hair said, like, her whole night was totally changed. But it was like, you know, we've got to be, we're ministers, you know. We're representing the power of God. And it's something like a supernatural word that can touch and impact someone's life. Or it can just be by obeying the Holy Spirit to do a nice, generous, and that's not naturalizing God. I'm not saying, oh, just go out and buy everybody in the world flowers and everything will be okay. No, what I'm saying is, look, just follow the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, she put a big post on Facebook. It had like 100 likes, all of these different comments on it. And it was a picture of a flower. And it was like, oh, I was having this crazy day and it was a whole thing and I got this and like my whole day changed. And there's all these people. And then the girl who cut my hair posted on it and tagged my name on it. And I just look and I saw it and I said, wow, this is nuts. What a profound impact. Just one obedient step in the Holy Ghost. But it was supernatural. And people so commonly will want to try to naturalize the voice of God. And that's what happens. It's like, man, we just want to just, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. It's just my thought. No, it was the Spirit of God that put it on my heart. And I want to challenge you guys to listen to the Spirit of God, because I believe that this week God will do it through your life. And this is the last two points that I want to cover, and then I want to pray for you guys. So one is it's supernatural, and then two is that it's supernatural in us. So God is supernatural, and then the God-given life is that it's supernatural in us, and then it's also that God does the supernatural through us. You see, when I was in that meeting in Danville, New York, Danville or Dansville? Dansville. When I was in that meeting in Dansville, New York, I saw the supernatural through somebody else, but God had done the supernatural in my life. It was in that moment. I received that God was a supernatural God. And I remember getting hungry for God that day. And I said, God, if you're real, if you can do this, if this is true and what's happening is true, it's like God broke my heart. I said, God, I want you to use me like that in other people's lives. And I was, all of a sudden, it's like I became dissatisfied with living this average life of just going to school or going to work and getting a job. But I said, God, if you can use that person to impact these people's lives, I want to make a difference. And God just started to reveal to me over the next several years that the only way to true significance is by the Spirit of God to make a difference into other people's lives. And it's that we have to receive that supernatural touch in our life to be able to pour it out in other people's lives. We have to have the supernatural alive and living on the inside of us to be able to minister it to other people. Jesus said, freely you have received and freely you shall give. So today is going to be a day for you where if God has never been supernatural to you, he's going to be supernatural to you. And if God's been supernatural to you, today God is going to activate the supernatural through your life into other people. Because this area around here needs a supernatural touch from God. And if you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many ways he's supernatural to us. Look, he's supernatural by the peace of God. Look, you know, I had to tell those supernatural situations, and then my mom passed away 6 years ago. And yeah, could God have healed her? Absolutely. You know, Bible says that he couldn't do any mighty works because of people's unbelief. My mom wasn't pressing in faith for a healing. I don't know exactly why she didn't get healed, but what I do know is that God's supernatural peace was on my life when she passed away. You know, there's people, you go through a divorce in your life, and in the natural, you should be a crying wreck. Your life should be totally torn apart, but God's supernatural peace will come upon your life. You know, there could be a, whatever the situation is, you could have something that's causing depression in your life, but if you'll receive the supernatural touch of God, he'll supernaturally bring joy into your life because our God is a supernatural God. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, it says that as God has comforted us, so he will use us to comfort other people. So I can tell my testimony, and people can hear my testimony on how God has done it for me, and it can click with other people's lives because how God has comforted me is how God will comfort other people. So there could be people here today, man. You've just experienced drugs. You've experimented in the life of the world. You've experimented a life of sex, a life of parties, a life in the world, and you've said, you know what? Enough is enough. If you did it for him, God's no respecter of persons. God, if you did it for him, God, you can do it for me too. And it's like, as I'm preaching this, because I remember when I heard the gospel being shared, it's like what the preacher was preaching was like, man, that's right where I'm at in my life. It's like God was grabbing a hold of my heart and saying, you know what? Yes, that's it. And there's people today, you've been crying out for the supernatural. And from this day forward, God's going to use you supernaturally in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to just wrap up on this point, is God being supernatural through us. And you said something, Pastor Jeremiah, I don't even think that you realized it. And then I'm going to have my wife share her testimony. I was looking for you. But when Joseph was promoted in Potiphar's house, you said he was basically like a businessman. That probably wasn't, was that in your notes, or was that something the Lord showed you, or was that something that you just kind of said off of here? Okay, yeah, it's so true. And I hate when people say, oh man, I really thought this person was going to go into ministry, but now they're just in business. Or they're just working a job. Or they're just this. Or they're just that. To me, that is the biggest unscriptural load of garbage that you can ever think. And what it does is it's a tool from the enemy to try to put people down and put people under. Because the Bible says, okay, this is in, I believe, Matthew 28, it says that go into all of the nations and make disciples, okay? That word nations is actually, I was just listening to this, and I thought this was so profound. That word nations is actually the word ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnicity from, okay? So when you look at an ethnicity, what is an ethnicity? Okay, it's like people of similar cultures, right? They have a similar language. They have a similar culture. They do similar things. They talk similar ways. They eat similar foods. They think similar thoughts. So what Jesus was saying was to go into your ethnicities and make disciples. But today we say, oh, you know what? I'm called. We're called the nations. I don't really feel called the nations. You know, I'm just called here. No, but you know what? You might be called to the ethnos. You might be called to the nation of the people group that you work in. Because if you're a nurse, you'll find out real quick that nurses have a similar lingo. Any nurses here? What's that? Your wife? Okay, you might hear some of the term. Do you hear any of your wife's terminology? What are some words that they say? Yeah, do you know any off the top of your head that you remember her saying? Yeah, RNs, BSNs, giving them so many CCs of so much whatever drug it is. And like, you're over here thinking that, like, is that English or is she like a missionary in Haiti or something like that? Nope, that's just the ethnos. That's just her realm that she's in. Same thing with engineers. I bet you could tell here, Jordan, do you have some lingo things that your engineer people talk about? Here, let me go. I want to put you on the microphone. Go ahead, just say some of the words.
There's a, especially with like the test engineers stuff, there's a lot of phrases for like rigging things and you're putting me on the spot. I work with optical engineers, so everything has to do with like you measure the fringes, you calculate the intensity of the light, you're reading, you know, data from different buses on computers and stuff like that. There's just a bunch of jargon.
Okay, so that's perfect. So they probably measure things in some quantitative numbers that we can't even understand. So, like, I have a trucking business, and, like, for instance, we have detention, we have, you know, we have something called a tonneau, okay? You'd be like, a tonneau? Yeah, it's a truck order not used, okay? We have all these different things. There's layover, there's, you know, there's certain weights, there's all of these different things that, like, you're like, oh, and you hear people talk, be like, okay, the delivery, it's a, you know, one pick, two drop, what's the, you know, you have all of these different terminologies, but it's that God's called people to the different, to those people group. You're laughing, Tim. Do you have it in the same way in your business? Go ahead, let's hear it.
Well, for example, with killing bugs, a lot of people get roaches. And so first thing I'll be like, well, did you see any Uthikas? And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, that's the egg sac that actually has roaches in them. And so then I'll say, well, I'll take some Cemexa and we'll dust this area. Then I'll hit it with a pyrethroid. And, you know, this right here, this is a growth inhibitor, an IGR. And that's going to make it so they can't reproduce and have any more Uthikas. So, yes! Yeah.
That is perfect. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. Now, and that's the thing, is that God's called Timothy to make disciples of all the roaches that are out there. He needs to get to work. But the point is that even with Timothy and his business, he has exposure to people that he could not previously have had exposure to just because of the type of work that he did. And when people say, oh, he's just in business, what are you talking about? Let me stick my finger up your nostril. He's able to get into people's homes to find out about people's lives that would never darken the door of a church. They would never be in this meeting right now today. And he's able to talk to them. And I'm sure that it's happened at least once where he finds out that somebody's man just their kid got just totally turned on meth or whatever it is, or on heroin, or they just got a divorce. I mean, you run into these situations. I promise you, every single one of you in your line of work, you're running into ministry opportunities. And that's where we need to realize is that, you know, people think that there's this difference between, you know, there's a difference between fivefold ministry and not fivefold ministry, but they've kind of come up with this term in America called the lay ministry, which are just like, you know, normal people, you know? I'm sorry, but screw that, okay? We are a supernatural people. We are not a normal people. We have a supernatural God that's living on the inside of us, and we can walk in the supernatural every day of our life. You know, it's not about the lay people. It's about you being supernatural right in your line of work, right where you're living. Because the same Holy Ghost that spoke to me next to that gas station is the same Holy Ghost that will speak to you while you're at work about the person that works in the cubicle across from you. It's the same Holy Ghost. He's the same Holy Ghost that will speak to you when you're driving on the way home. It's the same Holy Ghost that will speak to you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. He'll anoint you in an office meeting. And it doesn't even have to sound churchy. It can just be there, and you could be in a meeting, and the Spirit of God can come on you with an idea, and you'll stand up and say, nope, this is how it's going to go, this is the problem, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to fix it. And because you're anointed, and because the Holy Ghost has anointed it, it's like a hush will come over, and everybody will do just exactly what you've said. Because you're not about advancing your agenda, you're about advancing His agenda. And you'll find that just like Joseph's life, that's how you get promotions. You don't get promotions just by sitting there and twiddling your thumbs and reading a couple of Bible verses on your break. No, you get there by operating under the anointing, by letting the same supernatural God that came in you work through you to be able to change other people's lives. I remember I was telling you we did door-to-door sales, right? So it was a summer sales program, which really the whole opportunity was a supernatural miracle in itself. But I really felt, man, that the Lord had called me to make an eternal difference no matter where I was at. My pastor prayed for me and he said, you know, everywhere you go, you'll make an eternal difference. And I took that literally. So when I started working for this company, I said, I'm supposed to make an eternal difference where I'm at. Let me start a Bible study at my work. And I remember for the first year that we did it on the Sundays, we had maybe one people show up, two people show up like on a Sunday. Maybe some was going to be three or four, but you know what? We just showed up every single Sunday and we just did it. The next year we did it again and we started to have like 7-8 people show up, 9-10 people show up. It would fluctuate. It would go up and down. But I just said, you know what, whatever I do, I'm going to make an eternal difference. And man, I'll never forget the year that we did it, the first year that I did it in Cleveland, I was in there, and I was over, there was this one guy, Eddie, I'll never forget what he looked like. I don't remember his last name, but he was a big, big guy. Not like big guy, but like a big guy. And he was bald and he was fun. And he called, he's like, bro, I really need help closing this deal. Can you come over? So I came over and I helped him close the deal. And at the end of the deal, I prayed for his customer, and I led his customer to the Lord. And Eddie was like, whoa, man, that was awesome, man. Can you pray for me? I prayed for him, led him to the Lord. And then so the next day, he's like, bro, man, that was so awesome. Can you pray for me again? So I prayed for him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. So the next day, he comes up to me. He's like, Troy, guess what I've been doing all day yesterday? Shakarabo, sakarabada, praying. And I'm like, that's awesome, man. And he's just like, you know, and I pray. And then, oh, that first night, he got filled with the joy. So that's what it was. He got filled with us uncontrollable laughter. So the next day, he's like, oh, Troy, man, I've just been, and he's just like beside himself in laughter, you know. And then the next day was the Holy Ghost. And then the day after that, or like a couple of days after that, God had totally healed his problem in the knee. He's like, Troy, check this out. You prayed for me. And he's like running down. And I was like, yeah, man, it's awesome, right? So he ends up going home later that summer to go visit his dad or something like that. And he dies in a motorcycle accident. And if I was just sitting here thinking about doing my own little Christian thing and just doing a little Bible study and doing a little this and doing a little that, I would have totally missed. If I thought, oh, I'm just in business, or I just have a job, or I just do this, man, that man might be in hell right now if God hadn't reached him. So every time that you hear, man, I'm just this, or I'm just that, you know what? Realize that's a lie from the devil to keep you under. And you know what? The devil is under your feet, and you need to go out there and share a supernatural God with the hurting people. And to this day, man, those meetings that we have, one of the guys who's become one of my best friends now is a sales manager over the team, and he just won the Stevie Award for best international or national sales director. And the Stevie Award in business is like the Oscars in acting. He was up against, like, if you guys have ever heard of DHL, you know, the big shipping company, or iHeartRadio. So, like, their national sales managers, he was competing against those sales managers. And he won first place. He won the Stevie Award. Man, and he's in Las Vegas. They flew him out there. And first thing he does is gives, you know, thanks his family, thanks all, and he gives glory to God. Because you know what? It was a super, and you know what? He came over here single, his mom was a single parent, came over here with absolutely nothing. They used to sit in South Africa and dream about what their house was going to look like. They'd say, man, when they used to play a game, when I go to America. And they would sit there, and when I go to America, I'm going to pack in my bag. And they would name all the things that they would pack in their bag when they go to America. And God took that young man with a single mom and raised him up. Now makes over $1 million a year. He's 33 years old, and he is making waves for the kingdom of God. I can tell you probably over a half a dozen people that through our sales business that we were running, that we've gotten not just saved, not just set free, but plugged into Bible school. One of the kids right now is involved in the local government. He's like 30 years old, involved in local government. He's a Hispanic kid, life totally changed around, and he has a passion for government. Who here thinks we need godly people in the realm of government? So that's what I'm saying, is that the devil wants you to think that, oh, just because you're in this is that you're less of a ministry call. Absolutely not. God said, make disciples of your ethnicities. And you know what? There's an engineer ethnicity. There's a pest control ethnicity. There's a nurse ethnicity. There's a carpenter ethnicity. There is different people groups all around there. And God has called you to that people group, not just to exist, but to thrive. Not just to be, but to take dominion. And not just to live, but to live a supernatural, God-given life. And if you'll get hungry and if you'll get thirsty, not just now in a church service, but if you'll wake up and you'll look at your hands like I'm sure Joseph did, and you'll say, you know what? Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That I shall lay these hands on people and the power of God, it's not me, but the power of God in me will change somebody's life today. If you'll wake up tomorrow and say, I'm hungry and thirsty for you, Lord, I believe. And I will see your glory. And my Lord, your word said that if I would believe that I would see your glory. And I, you know what? Yesterday it didn't turn out like I thought it would, but today I believe and I'm going to see your glory. Last week didn't turn out like I thought it was going to work, but this week I believe I'm going to see. You know what? Last month it didn't quite turn out like I thought it was, but you know what? This month I'm going to see the glory of God in my life.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.